For this reason, because the Lord reigns, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. God is the lover of our souls. And as we sang, his love has no limit. And so today, as I introduce our speaker, it's really about that theme of experiencing God's love and moving closer to the heart of God. We know that his love is wonderful and overwhelming and full, and we know that because of this fallen world we live in and sometimes choices we make, that there's this gap between our experience and what God has in store for us in the depth of his love. So that's why Jesus came, to bridge that gap. And Julie and Mark, if you'd come, they're going to share a little bit today, primarily Julie, but also Mark's going to be a part of this, about how God's been speaking to their hearts about drawing close to the love of God, what that looks like. And so we want to pray for them today. Father God, we thank you for your heart. You have expressed your heart without question to us, and that is through Jesus Christ, the one who expresses your love to us. Your love knows no limits. It took Jesus all the way to the cross and through the cross to the empty tomb, and he's returning soon for that bride that we represent here even today in this room. And so, Father, as you speak through Julie and Mark today, would you give them just the freedom to share your heart and your word? And, Lord, would you give us the ability to hear and receive your word as it comes through Scripture, as it comes through Julie's testimony? And, Father, would you change us and restore us in greater measure to your image? And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Am I on? Okay. First of all, I'm just already super in awe of what God is doing in my own life and how he's put together this service. And I really do want to say hallelujah, God really reigns. And my first question to you is, do you really believe that God can reign over every area in your life? Do you really, really believe that he can be king in every area of your life? I believe he can, because he's shown up in my life in some mighty ways, and I want to share some of that with you. And I also believe he can today, because I have been praying for that, and I know lots of people have been praying for that. So it's kind of cool. I didn't know that those speakers were going to come and talk about sexual purity or our relationship between our spirituality and our sexuality, but I think that God wanted me to talk today to kind of prepare you for that, because that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about sexual purity and what that's meant in my own life, and how God's kind of showed me some stuff. And before you check out or roll your eyes or do whatever, or think in your head, I already know what she's going to talk about. I really would ask you to ask the Lord to speak to you individually today, to speak to your heart. Say, God, I want to hear from you, but not only that, I want to react to what you've told me to do today. And so I'm going to give us just a couple seconds so you can quiet your heart and ask the Lord to talk to you. The first thing I want to start off with is an illustration that Mark's mom actually gave to me the other day, and I was like, dude, I'm totally going to use that. But if there is a man, and he's learning archery, and he has his instructor, and he's trying to teach him how to shoot the arrow, pull the bow, if he misses that mark, his instructor doesn't just say, you've missed the mark. His instructor says, Yes, you've missed the mark. This is the process that happened to make you miss that mark. And here's what you need to do to correct what you're doing. And in Greek and in Hebrew, the word for sin means to miss the mark. And God isn't just here to say, hey, you've missed the mark, you've sinned, you've messed up. He's here to say, yes, that's true, and there is a process that made that happen, but I have the way to do it right. I can show you how to do this correctly. And I believe that that's true in the area of our sexuality. And this whole process has been really nerve-wracking for me. And last night, I was struggling. I was talking through stuff with Mark. Finally, we were just like, we're going to go to bed. And he was asleep, and I was like, Mark, I got it. And he woke up, and I was like, what? And for me, how this message kind of breaks up is there's a problem. There's a process on how that problem takes place, and there's a prescription. And I don't say that to say that here's some pills to take. Here's the right way you need to do things in order to make this happen. But I do believe that God has healing in this, and he has the right plan in this. And so that's kind of how this is going to go. So keep that mentality in mind. God is not here just to say you have messed up, because in all actuality, all of us have sexuality, and we all screw up in this area. You are not alone in dealing with this. He's not just here to say, he's here to say, I have shown you the right way, and I'm going to give you strength to do that. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is the problem. There's a problem because God's holy and we're not. There's also a problem in that God and his word and doctrine of holiness, our main verse is, be holy for I am holy. God bluntly says, be holy for I am holy. That's it. He's not, it's not this roundabout thing. He's saying, I am holy, therefore you need to be holy. But we go back to the first problem. We're not holy. We're sinful creatures. And, but God has provided a way out for that. And, which I'm going to talk a little bit about later, but that's an initial problem we have. And if you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to talk about this problem we have with our sexuality. Starting in verse 1, it says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in a passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. To me, this creates a problem. first of all, I want to say that I was super excited for Tuesday's lesson, because this whole book of Thessalonians really talks about the returning of Christ. And right smack dab in the middle of this message, God is giving us a practical way, like Dave was talking about, to wait faithfully for the Lord. This is something that he's calling us to do, to faithfully wait for the Lord, and it has to do with being sexually pure. First of all, I want to mention in the first verse, it says to do this more and more, which gives me hope. That doesn't mean that it's going to come right away. It doesn't mean that, you know what it means. We become more and more like Christ daily. That gives me hope. And then as I was talking about before, that you should be sanctified, that you should learn to control your body in a holy and honorable way. We all, as Christians, have been set apart. We have a holy calling on our life. And if you are thinking differently on that, and if you think you can just do whatever you want, you're deceiving yourself and mocking God. And that's just the truth of it. We are called to be separate. We are called to be different, especially in this area of sexuality. And I think this world and this culture and Satan himself wants to dilute that message so that we don't understand the seriousness of it. If you read the last thing I said, Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. I really do think that, it may just be because I'm super passionate about this, but I really think God's serious about this area in our lives and wants us to talk about it and wants us to be free with it because he's given it to every one of us. He really has. And to deny that or to overcompensate for that is wrong. And hopefully today there will be some new awakening in thinking about your sexuality. So there's this problem. Like I'm saying, God's holy, we're not. God is calling us to be sexually pure people when every desire in our body doesn't want to be because we want to satisfy our own desires. And before I go on to that, and there's also this problem because there's this man and woman, and their name was Adam and Eve. And God made the world, and at first it was perfect, okay? And he made Adam and Eve, this first marriage union. He brought them together, and they were one flesh. They were one flesh, and it was good. Like, this is before the fall. So therefore, God made sex, and it's good when it's in the right place. You track in with me? And this was and God made man and woman, brought them together. This is the best thing that God has for us. This is the best thing. But then, again, problem, we sinned. We fell short. The fall happened. If you read stories in the Old Testament, there's rape, there's incest, there's adultery, there's infidelity, which is the same thing. What was the other word? Homosexuality. This is the problem. This is the problem. And I want you to realize you've missed the mark. We've all missed the mark in this in one way, shape, or form. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to talk about some specific examples. But in your own heart, I would ask you to say, how have I missed the mark in this? In my this process of talking about this started when I went to Africa in 2006. And it was a great experience, and thousands of young people gave their purity to the Lord. But the coolest thing that happened was God really revealed to me different things that were happening in my life that I could share with others. And I believe that there's a process of our sexuality. It's more than just what we do with our body. It's on the inside. It's what you're thinking about, what you're filling your mind with, what you're lusting after. And a lot of that happens before you actually do things with your body. And so in the book of James, and I like James because it's a very practical book. It's saying you have the faith now. Here's some practical ways that your life should look like. Faith without deeds is dead, is what it's saying. Your life needs to look different. And in chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, it says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when full grown, gives birth to death." There's a process. It's inward, outward. It's saying there's this desire, there's these thoughts, there's these lusts that you have, and if you dwell on them and if you feed them, they produce action, they produce sin, and sin leads to death. And when I was talking this through with Mark, I was like, yeah, it leads to death, like eternal death. No, it can lead to death right here in life. It could lead to the Holy Spirit not being able to work in your life because you are so addicted to this sin that you're struggling with. This is, again, serious thing that I think God wants to reveal to us. So when I was in Africa, I called it mind, heart, body. But right now I'm going to talk about the inward and the outward. What are you thinking about? What thoughts, when you're lying in bed at night, go through your mind? What do you dwell on? What are you lusting after? This is all inward stuff. And so I was thinking about this last night. It can be, what are you fantasizing about? And when I was in high school, I had so much trouble with impure thoughts. So much trouble with impure thoughts. And I say this so I hope some of you will understand that I've dealt with what you're dealing with, and I'm dealing with what you're dealing with, but they were awful. I would fantasize about different acts that I would be performing with different people, and that, and in my own personal, it can be anything. In my own personal life, a lot of times Satan would tempt me with having thoughts about men and women. If you want me to tell you the truth, and that's hard for me to say, but it's true. We all have struggled with our thoughts, and in that, those become lusts and desires. Lust, when I think of lust, I think of craving, the urge to want to act these things out. And if that desire becomes so intense, then your body's going to follow in suit. Your body's going to follow in suit, and that's going to refeed your mind. Maybe some of you today have trouble with pornography. That is your mind, and in your heart, you're lusting. You're feeding that desire by looking at those images, and then you're re-putting those images in your mind, and it's a cycle. It's becoming more and more worse. Maybe you read books that have graphic sexual scenes in them. Maybe you like to watch movies that coarsely joke about sex and give a false image of what sex is, and it could be any number of things, but you know what I'm talking about. You are not alone in this. We all struggle with this. I want you to get that today, and I want you to understand that it's an inward, outward process. And as you feed those desires, and as that cycle goes through, it becomes more and more intense. And the way your body reacts to these desires and lusts and thoughts that you have is going to come in different ways, but it's most likely going to get more crazy. Because lust is deceitful. Lust lies to you. It says, when you get me, you're going to be satisfied. When you get me, you're not going to want this anymore. But in reality, when you actually act those lusts out, you want more. You're not satisfied. And so the different time that cycle happens, it's going to be acted out in a different way. That's the reality of how we work. And God made us this way for a reason, because, in a little bit, I'm going to talk about how that cycle works in the opposite way. God made this rhythm of life, breathing in, breathing out. It's inward, outward, inward, outward. Remember that. So this is the process. I talked about the problem. This is the process. And I want to let you know now that the process has consequences if it's going the wrong way. Dave bluntly said on Tuesday, your sin has consequences. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. And this can be anything. A lot of times for me, it was just guilt and shame. It was, I'm not worthy to be in relationship with God. I'm not worthy to speak. I'm not worthy to do all these things. It can lead to consequences in your marriage when you finally do get married. If this cycle is continuing inside your marriage, if you are, then you're not going to be satisfied, because all those lusts and stuff are totally unrealistic. And when you actually get to the point in your marriage where your sexuality is expressed, it's not, if you're like, hey, this isn't what I was thinking about. This isn't what I lusted after. This isn't fulfilling me. Again, the whole lust is a lie thief. That's a big consequence. Your sin does have consequence to it. It's a reality, and I want to say that before I talk about the solution to the problem, because, it's important to remember our sin has consequences. And so I'm going to ask Mark to come. We want to be real honest with you today. That's why I shared what I shared about myself and my own stuff. And Mark wants to be honest with you today, too. I think it's good to have a man and a woman perspective. Again, because we all deal, men and women alike. And so Mark's going to come and share a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about the prescription or what God has planned for you and for me.
Oh, man. Julie's asked me to give a testimony about the way that the Holy Spirit has been at work in my life and the way that Christ has been at work in my life. I want to preface what I'm about to tell you first Although there's a place for testimonies, and part of the purpose of my testimony is to let you know, every guy, every girl in here, you're not alone in your struggles. Don't think that you are so far gone that God cannot provide freedom for you. And I want it to be something where people are understanding that I'm struggling along with other people as well. But more importantly, I have to testify to you guys here and today, here and now, that Christ has given me victory in my life. Christ has given me freedom in my life. And I can't say it any other way, just that plain and simple. This is a big thing, guys. I found freedom. I have not, as I tell you about this, I want to share with my struggles, and I want to share how Christ brought me out of that and gave me victory. But what I don't want you guys to take from this is a technique, a magic potion, a scripture verse that you can read anytime you feel tempted and you'll be fine. It's not a special little three-step process to get rid of all the sin in your life. I'm just sharing how the Holy Spirit worked in my life, and I want you to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to understand how He wants to work in your life. And I want to start this whole testimony off also with a wonderful saying that I heard, and that is, if your sin is small, then your Savior must be small. But if your sin is great, then your Savior must be great. And before we talk about our great Savior, I have felt led to share with you guys about the great sin that's been in my life. I'm going to start out with the product, what's happened in my life, and then I'm going to talk about exactly how it happened. Guys, from junior high all the way up to high school, starting to blur the line between my high school and college days, I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to lusting after women in ways that is unhealthy and treats them like objects. Like not brothers and sisters in Christ or people who need to know Christ and know the love of God, but objects that I could satisfy these selfish desires with. And that, I struggled with that. I struggled with masturbation. I struggled with wanting to act that out and being so self-centered that I just had to somehow satisfy those desires in me. And for me, it started out with images that were just sort of placed in front of my head, in front of my face when I was younger. There were images, there were thoughts that were put into my head, just watching TV, watching something, looking through a magazine, all of a sudden seeing things that weren't glorifying to God. And it's like they were slapped in front of me. Satan put those things in front of me. That's where it started. After that, it started to enter into my thoughts. Like Julie was saying, it's the inward. It was the desires that started coming into my life. And they overtook me, and they started to just well up inside. I felt like I didn't know whether these things were okay. I didn't understand. I didn't talk to a single person about it. I didn't share what was going on in my heart. I didn't share all these selfish feelings and all these different feelings that are welling up inside of me. And that is when I started to pursue it. The first outward action that I took was looking into pornography and feeding those images even more so, and wanted to continually feed after those lusts. And through that led to all the rest, and it just continually consumed me. I'm not saying that I just every once in a while would look at pornography. There were days when if I was by myself where I would just spend all my time obsessed with that, wanting to satisfy that desire. And that, I'm not proud to tell you that, but I am proud to tell you that I'm free from that. Maybe some of you guys could probably have gone your whole life without hearing about what I just dealt with, but I felt like I had to tell you this because I don't want a single person to leave this building saying to themselves, well, they don't understand what I've gone through. They don't understand my struggle. I want you to know that everybody does. Julie and I, the people that have felt led by God to go across the world to tell people in Nepal about this and to tell you guys here now about sexual purity, have struggled with sexual purity. We're not above that. And nobody is. We're all there. And so, now at this point, I'm wanting to just talk about where the Savior comes in, and I want to just keep, and I just want to move right along, and I just want to pass up this thing, because really, I don't want to be talking about this in my heart right now. I didn't want to share it from the moment that I was sitting there thinking about it, the moment that I felt like God was giving me this, but I want to focus for a little bit longer on this sin before we understand our Savior. It's really important that we understand this. In chapel on Tuesday, what a wonderful chapel that was. Everything about it, the worship, the message, everything. We sang this song that I love so much, "It Is Well With My Soul." And a particular verse just shot out to me. It usually does when we sing this one just because of how much I love it. But this section, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more." Praise the Lord. That is a wonderful image. But God showed me at that moment an image of the exact opposite of what I was, of the feelings that I had when I was struggling with this sin. I had an image of Jesus there at the cross, and me at the foot of it. I was not at the foot of the cross in reverence, like anybody who understood what that really meant would be and should be. I was there in selfishness. I was looking at all the sin that was on Jesus' body that he had bore for me, all of my sins, and I wanted to take part of that back. I was trying to find a way to get those sinful behaviors, attitudes, thoughts back from Jesus. I wasn't looking at the beauty and the great offense and beauty of the cross of Jesus there, died for my sins, who poured out his blood for mine so that I can be free from the things that I was wanting. I ignored all those things so that I could gratify selfish desires. I was telling Julie about this image that was in my head, and she, the first time I told her, she was asking me why, and I couldn't think of a good answer, that's for sure. All I could say was, these were my selfish desires. I was selfish. That's all I cared about. That was all I was focused on. And guys, that image, we were all there, and if we struggle with these sins, we are all still there at the cross trying to get these little tiny parts of our sinful nature back. We are ruining the message of the gospel by saying, it's not quite enough because I want this part back. It's not that important because I want this back. It's not that meaningful because I want this little piece back. That is what our sin is. That is what my struggles with pornography were, and that's what they would have continued to be if I hadn't found freedom. And I think the process of understanding sin this way started when I felt led to confess to Julie, as we were starting in a relationship, my struggles. I had to tell the woman that I love, and that in my heart I felt like I was going to marry this woman, and I felt like I was going to spend the rest of my life with her. I had to tell her, I've been selfish. I have not had a single concern for my purity to give to you in my past. And even then, I was still struggling with some aspects of it, with lustful thoughts and masturbation and those things. I was still struggling, even here at Barclay. And to see that, to see the effect on the face of the woman that I love, I can't describe it. I can't describe the extent of the conviction that was in my heart. And I hope for anybody here that they don't have to, that they can be able to say that, to confess those sins in their lives to the person that they love with a pure heart, and being able to say, hey, I found freedom, though. I've gotten past that. I wasn't able to say that at first. And from there, for me, this is where the Savior came in to my life, and this is the beauty of it. This is why I wanted to talk about just how bad the sin was, because seeing that gave me this immense desire to follow after God and to seek that personal holiness in that area of my life, especially because that was just such a besetting sin. And I'm not going to tell you that the process was easy. I'm not going to say that starting to rid myself of those temptations and those desires and keeping myself from acting out on those desires, I'm not going to say that wasn't hard with Jesus. It wasn't that the Savior came into my life and everything was magically gone. There was just a driving, overriding passion in my heart and a desire to become pure and become holy because God is holy. And I could not have done it without Christ giving me strength. If I didn't have that in my heart, if I didn't have that in my life, it wouldn't have happened. And I don't think it will work for anybody unless you have that, because sin is a terrible thing that is still oppressing the world. And I'm not going to say either that I'm free completely. I'm not going to say that if I let those desires come back into my life, I'm not going to say that I'm so holy and I'm so perfect that those things aren't going to come back, because they will if we let them. But I just know that my great sin is a sign of a wonderful Savior who can give us freedom and has given us freedom. We just need to understand that more. So, thank you.
So now I want to talk about the last part, and Mark's already started to go into that, but there's two parts that I want to talk about for the prescription or whatever, what God has planned. I'm going to go back to Adam and Eve. God has already told us what is right and good and true. He lays it out plainly in his word. Sex is for marriage. And I know that you know that because we've been hearing it. Or maybe you haven't ever heard it. I don't know. But for the most part, I'm pretty sure all of you understand that God wants sex to be for marriage. And it's that simple, but it's that complicated at the same time. God doesn't want to suck the fun out of life. God has made this plan for us in our sexuality because it's the best. God has made this good, wonderful thing for us to be a part of. It's not God just saying, you missed the mark, you know what I mean? He's saying, listen to me, I have the best option for you. It's the best. And that's why I believe that Satan attacks this part of our life so much, is because he knows that it's good. And he knows that it's from the Lord. Sex is for marriage. Sex is one man, one woman in a marriage union. And I don't know, like in Jewish days, I don't know how many of you have heard of this, but they'd get married and then the bride and the groom would go off and consummate their wedding before the party. Because to them, in the Jewish culture, sex equaled marriage. It was the same thing. It was the same thing. Sex and marriage were one thing together. And they didn't consider them married until they consummated their wedding vows. And so that's part of the prescription. God said, here, this is what this is for. This is what I expect you to do with this. This is how you can faithfully wait for my return. But another side of that I really am excited to talk about is God's grace is totally enough in this situation, in this area of your life. Man, like Mark was saying, there's freedom in Christ over these areas of your life. There's freedom from the darkness. Christ says that when he walks into the room, the darkness flees because he is the light. Christ died and rose again because he wants you to give freedom in these areas of your life. And I don't know what you come with today, what baggage you may or may not have in your life, in these areas, what things you've done in your past that you're completely ashamed of. But I do know that God's mercies are new and fresh every morning. And when you woke up this morning, God was open arms saying, I'm ready to forgive you. Forgiveness is so powerful. And it's one of the first practical things we can do in this process. Hey, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I messed up in this area in life. And God, I want to repent. This morning, man, God has just been really good. But this morning, when I was doing my devotions, I'm going through John, and I opened it up to John 8, and I want to read that to you. And it just really blessed me. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. In other words, we're all in this together. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But it totally gets better than that. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. It's just Jesus and her. Just Jesus and her. Jesus straightened up and asked, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Like, when God gave me that this morning, I was like, awesome way to end. You know, like, I was so excited. So, this woman is caught in sexual sin. She's caught, and these people are mad at her and wanting to throw stones. And first of all, Jesus says, if you haven't sinned, then you can throw the first stone to say, hey, she is not alone in this. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then there's this beautiful picture of Jesus and this woman who's naked, probably, and like, I don't know, literally, but spiritually naked, ashamed, guilty, all that stuff. And he says, in his acts, he says, I forgive you, but go now and sin no more. Go now and I have given you this wonderful gift of freedom. Go now, repent, turn around. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't just leave it as, because so much of my high school when I was struggling with myself, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. And another time. And that was probably just like one day. But like, when I finally realized, it was just Jesus and me. And Jesus was saying, Julie, I have forgiven you. Go now and don't do it again. Go now and live a life free of sin. Not because of anything I can do, but because God and his rich grace and mercy has given me that opportunity. And that's totally the case here with your sexuality. All messed up. And it's just you and Jesus. And he's saying, I've made all the crowd who wanted to stone you go away. It's just me and you. I've forgiven you. Go now and don't do this again. Live a life free of sin. It's possible to be free of this. So much of my high school career, I was like, oh no, like I'm always going to deal. And I'm not saying I don't struggle with this now, that I'm not susceptible to different things coming into my mind and stuff, but God has, I can't even explain it. God has just lifted such a burden and has really freed me from lots of things, especially the guilt and the shame. And it's just such an awesome thing that I don't think a lot of us believe sometimes. God can't really do this to me. Mm-mm. He can't do this, but he can. And in my own life, there were some, I'm going to talk about some more practical things, but in James 5, it says, confess your sins to each other so that you may pray for each other so that you may be healed. A lot of sexual things are hidden in our life. Nobody else knows about them. Nobody else knows. Satan loves secrets, you guys. He loves that you have this in the darkness. But if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, Christ can really heal. He can do miraculous things through that. And I think that that's where part of my freedom began. I confessed what was going on to some of my friends, and they prayed for me. First of all, you're able to see the grace and love of Christ through how your friends treat you and how they pray for you. And second of all, when you say, this is me, this is what I deal with, it's like you're saying, Christ, be the light in the darkness. Christ, come into this dark, deep place in my life and be the light, because the darkness flees when you come in. The darkness flees. So if you're really struggling today and having problems, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But before that, a lot of that, there's that, and there's also you and Jesus, like I just talked about. Be willing to say, Jesus, I know you know what to deal with, but I want to put it into words. I want to say, no, this is it. And be willing to do what you can to not let that happen again. As when I was reading books, and I've read lots of books on this subject, if you know that you have trouble at night on the computer, don't get on the computer. You know what I mean? There's some practical ways that I know that you can do this. And as you confess, you can have friends and accountability. Christ works when we work with each other in this area. And I know that he wants us to talk about it and deal with it, because he's given it to us. And he wants us all to experience that goodness. And the best part is, even though you've messed up, like Mark was telling me, he had to confess some of those things to me and I to him, and he was still dealing. God has still blessed our marriage in that respect, because God's grace is sufficient and it's good enough. He can work through anything, but you have to be willing to confess. You have to be willing to say, I want forgiveness, but I want to repent too. I want a repentant heart. And God will give you the strength to do what you need to do. Do you believe that he can reign over every area in your life? Do you believe that he can be king over every area of your life? Because I do. And I know that he can, and I know that he wants you to. And maybe this morning you need healing from your past and forgiveness of sin. Maybe this morning you need to recommit your sexuality to the Lord. Maybe this morning you need to pray for your future spouse, that you would be holy and pure for them and they would be for you. I don't know. Lately I've taken to praying for my children I don't have, that they would be sexually pure people too. It's a big thing, and I don't know where you are this morning, but I know that God can meet you where you are. The light of Christ is in each and every one of you, and he speaks directly to you. And I know that that can be a reality today. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to leave the altar open for a little bit of silence. If you want to come and pray and ask God to heal you, if you want to go talk to someone because you feel the need to talk to them, do that. Do whatever God is asking you to do, not what everyone else is doing. And let this be like that woman who was caught in sin, you and Jesus. Let him speak truth and forgiveness and hope. And hope into your life in this area. And then after a while, if we could just sing, Alleluia, Our God Reigns. Because he can and he will and he does. And I don't know what else God has in this next month with the speakers coming, but I hope that this was a good preparation day for you in actually understanding and listening to what they have to say. God doesn't stop. He's all more and more, like that verse said, more and more becoming more like Christ. So I'm going to pray and Lord Jesus, I am in awe of you and what you do. You are so good and so gracious and so loving. Thank you for that song about the love of you, God. How you love us so. And because you love us, you have provided this best life for us. You've provided a good life for us. And I know that we're fallen and we're sinful, but you are here, God. You are here to redeem your people. You are here to set your people free. God, you are in the business of setting people free and breaking chains that bind us and lifting off burdens that overtake us, God. And it's all in your great love and mercy and kindness. And I pray that this subject would not be a taboo subject anymore, but that we would have the boldness to confess our sins to each other so that we might pray for one another, God, so that we might be healed from these infirmities. God, like Mark was saying, we don't want to take a part back of your sacrifice. We don't want to take it back just because we're selfish, just because we have another agenda, God, but we want to give it all to you, God. You can't use things unless we give it to you. And I pray that we would be able to let go of some of the things that are binding us. We thank you for this process. We thank you that you didn't never give up on us in this area. We thank you that you have provided a way out, a way of healing, and that is Jesus Christ, the light of life, the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And I am just in awe of who you are. We praise you. Alleluia, God. You reign. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign. God, in these next moments, I pray that we would be honest with you, that we would just have a Jesus moment where you speak truth into our life. Help us not only to listen to that truth, but again, react to it. May our lives reflect what we've learned here today. May our lives be that of purity, God, because you are holy and you call us to be holy. God, you have set us apart for a greater purpose, which is to glorify your name. And we thank you again for who you are and this great gift of sexuality that you've given to us.
Hallelujah. 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 Our God.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you feel like you need to stay, you may. If you need to leave, if you want to talk to me or Mark, you're more than welcome to. We'll be around for a little bit, but do whatever the Lord wants you to do right now. I just want to say one more thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. And I pray that your glory, you would be glorified in this hour and through the rest of our lives in this area. We love you and thank you.